is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5, the Game Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis was in Jacksonville. He'll join us in a little bit, get his take. But we're talking Titans and the butt-kicking they got yesterday at the hands of the Jacksonville Jaguars and their rookie sixth-round quarterback and their 0-2 team and their non-coach and their star corner who wants to get traded. Now, can I bring up one positive thing before we go right back to the phones, as promised?
Sure.
New England was 1-2 last year, too, and they got their rear ends kicked by Jacksonville and Detroit. So I'm not saying the Titans are going to go on and win the Super Bowl this year like New England did last year, but New England got their hats handed to them week two against Jacksonville and week three against Detroit, both of whom stunk last year and ended up having a pretty good season. You know the next time the Patriots lost after they lost, got just housed on Sunday Night Football by Detroit?
No.
Tennessee on November 11th. Now, I don't feel good about Atlanta in a week, much less, you know, not losing until November. But that did happen to the Patriots, so maybe it's one of those work the kinks out early in the season kind of things.
Let's hope.
You don't feel very strongly about that.
Well, I don't think. I mean, I'm disappointed in the game, but, I mean, there's 13 more to go. The whole 1,000 things can happen.
Back to the phones as promised. Jared is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday on Mike Vrabel. Go ahead.
Yeah, guys, I'd like to make a comment about Vrabel's conference today. It brings back memories of Norm Chow when his favorite expression was, we did some good things and we did some bad things, but I have to look at the tape and make those decisions. Chin up, Titans. Thanks.
Yep. I have no idea. I mean, I listened to Vrabel's press conference. It sounded nothing like Norm Chow. And I would say this. To me, Vrabel kicked it off when he started talking about accountability. When Vrabel started talking about that, this is how he kicked off kind of their press conference today. And this gave me a little insight into how Vrabel felt about yesterday.
Well, I think the accountability and the fundamentals is something that we really have to focus on today, over the weekend, especially on Monday with the extra day of practice. I think that's what the message is going to be to the team, is that we have to take accountability for our choices, our actions, coaching and playing, and then we have to improve our fundamentals, you know, and use Monday as a day to really, you know, concentrate on that.
See, I think the accountability and the making choices and all that kind of stuff, I think that's a direct shot at Adoree Jackson. I think that is a direct shot at Adoree. And I think he's looking at that saying, hey, some of these guys on this team need to be accountable because they're not living up to their end of the bill. Which is not something you would have heard from an offensive coordinator, especially Norm Chow when he was OC. And I think Vrabel's furious. And I think that accountability and the making choices, that tells me he's not happy with either some faction of that locker room or with an individual in that locker room. And I think it's Adoree, and I think that's who he's pointing the finger at.
I would have gone a completely opposite way. I would have gone to Marcus.
You think that he's pointing the finger at Marcus?
If he's pointing the finger.
Why?
Why?
When he's talking about accountability? Is Marcus not accountable?
Well, I don't know.
Marcus was asked about the misthrow to Tajay Sharpe yesterday. As far as accountability goes, this is what Marcus said.
Marcus, there was one pass, and I know Tajay, kind of a deep pass on the left side. Looked like maybe you guys were on different pages. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah. No, that was completely on me. He ran a great route. We had an opportunity there to make a play, and I just, you know, I missed it. And, you know, Tajay, again, I thought when the ball and given the opportunity, he made plays. And I just got to do a better job of giving him a chance.
So he seemed pretty accountable there.
God, I've heard that same statement so many times.
That's my fault. I know. I'm so tired of that.
It makes me sick. I've heard that so many times. Yeah, I know. It's my fault. I just missed him. Wrong business. Wrong business.
Let's go to Carl, who's up next. What's up, Carl?
Nothing much, fellas. Look, man, there's a lot on my mind. That last night was awful. But look, just how much longer are we going to put up with Marcus missing wide open receivers and this and that? But Marcus really ain't who I'm upset with. I'm upset with the higher ups after this game. Why in God's green earth did they not kick that field goal? Which, because if it wasn't for Adoree's bonehead play, which he's garbage
nice catch.
Off the jump. I mean, they could at least got some points on the board, made them feel like they had accomplished something.
I 100% agree with you about the fourth and six. Thank you for the call. I 100% agree. Floyd is okay with the fourth and six. I'm not. To me, you kick that field goal and you get those 3 points. It's 14-3 in the second half. Get a defensive stop. You've got momentum. You've gotten on the board. You've gotten and Vrabel took an incredibly ridiculous risk at that point.
I don't see.
And it blew up in his face.
I think you're just shooting your mouth off again. I mean, I don't. You know what? That was the farthest we had penetrated into their field the entire game. The entire game. We never got that close to a touchdown.
I don't care.
What? When you get down there, if you don't take that shot, what makes you think you're going to get it from 60 yards away? You got no chance.
You're going to have to go 60 yards anyway.
You're
going
to have to score touchdowns to win this game. He was behind 14-0 with 5 minutes gone. Touchdowns are going to win. Field goals are not going to win it for you. And so and this is the only time, first series after half, and the only time you got down inside, I think we were on the 10 or the 11. I mean, you never ever got that close again until you scored a touchdown, right, I think, second to last series. So, I mean, you got down there. I could easily see why he said, hey, guys, you know what? We may not get back down here. We got a chance to get 7. We need to find a way to get 7. Because would you have felt better if the score was 20-10?
I would have felt much better at that point had that score been 14-3.
If it was 20-10, would you have felt better?
Final score?
Yes. No.
Well,
wouldn't have made any difference.
You don't know what would have happened
after
that.
If it's 20-7 or 20-10.
Felt better than Adoree Jackson returning punts. Tristan is up next. What's up, Tristan?
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, Ben Jones, the Texans got rid of him, and he stinks, and I want to get rid of him and get Ryan Tannehill to start for Mariota. And, can you guess who had the most yards in the first half besides Mariota? The refs did 15 flags for 93 yards, while Mariota had 16 passes for 62 yards.
Yep. And, yeah, okay, so let's start with Ben Jones. Thank you for your call, Tristan. Let's start with Ben Jones there. I mean, I don't think Ben Jones is very good, but I don't feel like there's any semblance of putting Ben Jones on the bench and making you a better football team.
It's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Okay, let's go to Alton, who's up next. What's up, Alton?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call today.
Yep.
So this is my question, guys. So we all agree. Well, I agree with you in this aspect, Jared, is that I don't believe Marcus is a bust. I think that he's an amazing athlete. I think he's a competitor. My question is this. Floyd, in your experience out of these 40 years, when you see the body language and posture of a Marcus Mariota personality type, we know he's not charismatic, he's not a vocal leader, but just his mindset. What is it going to take for him, mindset-wise, to dig himself out of this ditch and get back on track? I'll hang up and listen to your call. Thanks.
Thanks, Alton.
I mean, he's gotten to the point in his career, in my opinion, he's got to have some success. He's got to have something good happen to him. You know, you think about the end of the season last season and what's happened to him so far this season. I mean, there's not a lot positive there. You know, there's not a lot, especially the last couple of weeks. You look at that and you think, okay, I'm going to build off of this and we're going to really progress and we're going to – and each week we just get worse and worse and worse, you know. And he's missing more and more open guys and, you know, the passes seem to be getting uglier. They're either way over their head or they're in the dirt or they're behind them, and it's just it's kind of like it's mushrooming on them. And he's got to do something, or they've got to do something to figure out a way to get him some confidence, let him have some success.
I just don't know how you can do that when you can't block for the guy. You know what I mean? Like, you can scheme up certain things, but if you can't just keep Calais Campbell from just going right past your guy like he's not even there, I don't know what you can do to get the guy confidence.
Oh, what about last week?
Against Colts?
Yes.
They could have schemed it up last week.
Okay.
But they didn't. But they didn't. But which, you know, I mean, I'm not even, I mean, I worry about Vrabel. I'll just leave it at that. I worry about Vrabel's management of a coaching staff.
You know what? That's meaningless. You worry about all of these guys. I mean, you worry about anybody in football and basketball, you're worried about. First thing you do is go to the coach. And unless you got favorites. Now your favorites you're going to take care of. But you go right to the coach. And I don't know what that is about you. Well, you never coached, which I know, which makes that, which makes it hard because you don't understand that part of it. You know, that's hard.
Speaking of favorites, your favorite just made a move, a little breaking news. The Patriots have released Antonio Brown.
Wow.
So I told you the story about how one of the people that was in the Sports Illustrated story, AB, texted her in a group text. Yeah. And, I mean, it was – and the NFL immediately – she sent the text to the NFL. The NFL immediately got back to her. My gut says the NFL told the Patriots, hey, like, we're coming down.
This could be ugly.
So you might just – I don't know if the NFL is going to kick him out of the league, but this may rival Pac-Man's year-long suspension.
The text have to do with some kind of whatever he was, assault or whatever it was,
well,
he was dealing with?
Yeah, so she was one of the people in the Sports Illustrated story who said that I guess she was painting a picture at Brown's house. He won in an auction some picture. So this artist will come to your house and paint the picture. And he walked out naked with a towel over himself or whatever and started bothering her while she was painting, but she just kind of, you know, just continued to paint or whatever and, of course, told the story to SI. And then part of the story, I think, was like he didn't pay her, didn't pay them, or didn't pay something. Jeez. And so Brown then sent a mass text with his buddies, his lawyer, and her in the mass text and was like, let's look at her background and let's see what she's, you know, oh, I got you, AB. You know, and they, I guess you can consider that to be incredibly threatening like I did when I read it. And so I think that was probably the final straw. My gut is Kraft didn't want that guy on the team anyways after what had come out after they had signed him. And then this comes and it's like, Bill, just get rid of the guy.
Yeah, it's getting to a point where you can't put up with that anymore.
Corey Curtis, news too. He was in Jacksonville. Were the players as upset as the fans are? Plus, what did he think about that meltdown last night? We'll get to that coming up next, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, Fireball Hot Take Friday. Titans lit up in Jacksonville. I'm not sure we have agreed on one thing today, Floyd, about the game yesterday. We both watched the same game, and I'm not sure we have agreed on one thing.
We both got lit up. I mean, they got lit up.
Okay, we agree. And the offensive line is terrible. Those two things we can agree on. I'm more blame Vrabel than I am blame Marcus. I think you're more blame Marcus than you are blame Vrabel. Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us. He was in Jacksonville. Corey, are you more blame Marcus or blame Vrabel? How do you feel about last night's debacle?
Oh, well, I mean, do I have to blame just one person? Holy cow. I mean, you know, does Marcus need to play better, especially in the first half? Yeah. Yeah, he does. But, you know, when you're the captain of the ship, it's your ship, you know? So ultimately, it lies with you. There is a common thread here for the entire team, and it's starting slowly. And this is not a team you want to start slowly against because, I mean, how have the Titans beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars four times in a row leading up to this game? They get the lead, they play defense, they run the football, and they let the Jags implode. Well, last night the roles were reversed. The Jags got the lead, and they let the Titans implode. One turnover, nine penalties. You know, they just couldn't get it done.
What do you think the biggest problem for the Tennessee Titans is outside of the offensive line? Is it mental, or is it physical, or is it roster?
Well, that's a really big question. well, you know, I don't know if it's roster. I don't know if it's scheme. But I do know this. This game is won in the trenches. And when you're not good up front, you're really not very good anywhere else. So whatever the problem is up front on the offensive line, to me, that's their biggest problem.
What do we know about Panfil or Davis or those guys? I mean, are they going to be ready next week?
You know, when they let Josh Klein and Quentin Spain go, you had to replace both those guys. And so you pay big money for Saffold over there on the left side, and then you draft Nate Davis, what was that, 82nd overall? That's a significant pick, isn't it, in the GM world, Floyd?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, expectations were for him to come in and compete, hopefully win that job, and then Panfil would be your security blanket. Well, Davis gets hurt. Panfil, you've got to exercise your security blanket. And then your security blanket gets lit on fire, and you can't use it anymore. And now you're down to a guy who barely made the roster starting at right guard. And he goes against Calais Campbell and gets absolutely worked over. So, you know, that's a huge problem. Panfil, you know, look, I mean, he's not there, and we all have to start to question whether he can stay healthy, because that's been the story of the last, I think, 3 years of his career, is injuries. And then after the game, when asked about Davis, Vrabel said he needs to play for us. And indicated that he was close, but on the short week they couldn't do it. It sounds like they think he's, I mean, just reading into what he said, they think he's the best option for them, and that option I'm expecting to see in Atlanta.
We went from a couple of weeks ago where, you know, we barely got a penalty to the game last night. Now, I'm generally not one to pay much attention to the refs and what they do.
Yep.
But, I mean, I thought there were just four or five just blatant calls that were just poor calls.
Ticky tack. Yeah.
Is that the reason that the penalties jumped in your mind?
Well, I think it's part of it. I mean, this crew led the league in penalties called last year.
Right.
So this is a crew that likes to announce its presence with authority. But I agree with you. That third down PI on Logan Ryan was a terrible call. It's a terrible call.
Roughing the quarterback?
The roughing the quarterback of Correa? That's a terrible call.
Awful.
That was football. And I'm one who says, hey, they're protecting the quarterbacks. You've got to understand that. I mean, he's releasing the ball and getting hit like half a step later. I don't understand for a second how that is roughing the passer on him. And then, you know, you had a holding call. Marcus scrambles. I think it was 2nd and 10, and Marcus scrambles for 9 yards or a first down. And Jack has a little tiny grab on the inside, and they call him for a 10-yard hold. So instead of 2nd and 1 or 3rd and 1 or 1st and 10, it's 2nd and 20, and it's drive over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think officials need to understand, and this just isn't from a Titans point of view. This is from a league-wide, team-to-team point of view. If you're going to call penalties, make sure it's a penalty, because these penalties can be game-changing. And when you take a team from 2nd and 1 to 2nd and 20, that's game changing. You know, when you call Malcolm Butler against the Colts for grabbing the back of the jersey, yeah, we all see it. We all saw it. He did it. And not everybody saw it right away because we got the wrong replay. But, you know, you can see that. But these ones where it's just, I mean, I think Tajay Sharp got called for one downfield, and did his arm hook underneath Jalen Ramsey a little bit as Ramsey was falling to the ground?
That was a terrible call.
And it's just like, it had nothing to do with the block. Ramsey was going to the ground. And that's why I say, you know, just because you're there and just because you got a flag doesn't mean you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so yes, I guess that's my way of saying this crew is part of the reason that those penalties jumped. And this was just, unfortunately, you know, not a game they could have that. Now, having said that, the Jags were only called for 4 penalties. So, for whatever reason, they were able to play cleaner. So, you know, and there were times where we thought maybe there would be a penalty. And I think there was a PI that we thought we would see, and we didn't.
Oh, Boye locked his arm underneath A.J. Brown, and they didn't call it. And that was ridiculous. After they would call Logan Ryan for what they called Logan Ryan with. Corey Curtis from News 2 is with us. I actually said on Instagram, we had the little halftime reaction, and I said, I think they're going to get a call from New York at halftime, and they're going to say, hey, cool it with the holding penalties. They did not call holding in the third quarter. I think
when Tom Brady starts tweeting out about the refs being problems, yeah, the league takes notice.
Yeah, Corey Curtis, News 2 with us. Give me your Titans fireball hot take of the week.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I think, I've said, to me, the offensive line is the biggest problem. And no, I'm not ignoring Mariota. He needs to play better. He needs to start faster. And I thought he was a warrior in the second half of that game, by the way. But that's not my hot take. My hot take is this. If you think getting Taylor Lewan back in the lineup is going to fix the pass protection, I think you better think about that line of thought again. Taylor Lewan played, 14, 15 games last year? How many sacks did they give up?
A lot.
A lot. So if he was a part of that line last year and that line struggled last year, why is it going to be that much better just because he's back?
I mean, I think they're going to be a little bit better, but I'm with you. I mean, I don't think Lewan's going to be the cure-all for the right guard position.
Well, and there's a common denomination in this Titans offensive line since it has started to struggle in the last 2 years in pass protection, and that's Russ Grimm is no longer their coach.
Hey, look, I've been banging on Keith Carter all day, and I've been banging on Craig Aukerman, too. The two coaches I wanted fired at the end of the year last year, they didn't fire either of them, and I think we're living with what the consequences of not firing those guys is.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I was smart enough. All I can tell you is by results. That's all. And when I see this team turn into a turnstile on the offensive line and then make no adjustments to it, seemingly, Jameel Douglas patted Calais Campbell on the back on his way to the quarterback.
That was bad. That was bad. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, appreciate you. Appreciate your coverage in Jacksonville as well.
All right, gang. See you later.
Thanks, Corey.
A lot of football to play.
See you. Corey Curtis, News 2, here on the show. And I agree with Corey there were times where he did not even touch Campbell, and Campbell sacked Mariota. And I don't know what Marcus is supposed to do in all of that. Floyd, Bill Belichick hates bad football, right?
Yes, sir.
You hate bad football, right?
Yes, sir.
The last two games, bad football from the Tennessee Titans. Why is the Mike Vrabel team playing bad football? We'll discuss that next. Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Hey, join the game Nashville at the second annual Preds Fest on Sunday, September 29th from 2 to 6. There will be Preds player appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, and fun for the whole family. Stop by our tent to win some awesome prizes and some game gear. That's Preds Fest on Sunday, September 29th from 2 to 6. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, takeaways have been hard to come by for this Jags team, but they're set up nicely right now. Wingard is the one that forced it. Play action. Minshew wide open for the touchdown. O'Shaughnessy.
Bad ball leads to an early 7 for Jacksonville. So, Floyd, give us a definition on this Fireball Hot Take Friday of what bad ball is.
Bad ball is anything that's less than your standards, whatever your standards are.
So holding penalties, being lined up incorrectly. Now, there was one where they
all
called
the above.
The Titans had a big gain, and they said that it was illegal formation on Davis. And Vrabel had a little snarky comment that he, I guess, said, they deemed us to be illegally, that was an illegal formation, which, in my opinion, was Vrabel's way of saying he didn't think it was an illegal formation. But the penalties, the not being able to field a punt, all of that's bad ball. Spiking the ball on third down and two, that's bad ball. A lot of things that happen in any game was bad ball. Why is this team, with this coach who is so focused on everyday attention to detail, why are we seeing so much bad ball out of a team that didn't play a ton of bad ball last year?
Well, I mean, this week, I mean, they got their butts kicked. I mean, it's just pure and simple.
I know, but you give them 7 points. If you don't give them the 7 points, all of a sudden you're down there on that 4th and 6, and it's 7-0. That's a different ball game than it is 14-0.
Absolutely.
And all those penalties where Derrick Henry would get 9 yards, and then holding offense number 81, 10-yard penalty, replay first down. Yeah,
now, I can't – I mean, the coaches don't control the officials.
I know that.
And the officials, I mean, again, I'm not one to gripe about officiating, generally speaking. But I'm going to tell you what, now, there were four or five calls in that game that were just horrendous.
Makes me miss the old days.
Horrendous.
Bernie Kukar.
So, I mean, you know, I don't know how you control that. And I don't know how you end up, what'd we end up with, nine? I don't know how you end up with nine and they end up with four or whatever it is. You know, you telling me they don't hold? They didn't do any of that stuff? Anyway. I don't think you can control that. And I don't think, like last week, I mean, last week's game is, in my mind, is totally different than this week's. I mean, it was complete opposite. Last week was we shoot ourselves in the foot. And we go out there and we messed it up. That's why last week was so frustrating. Because you get to a point that you're on the verge of winning a game. It's late into the game, and you know it's going to be close, and you know you've got a chance, and you know all you have to do is two or three things, and you're going to be in good shape, and you mess them all up. So that is, I mean, that's inexcusable. And I think, generally speaking, the players that were involved kind of took responsibility for that. This week, you just got your butt kicked now. I mean, you just physically got manhandled. And there's nothing, I don't know what, you know, you can't coach a third team right guard to be an all-pro.
To stop Calais Campbell?
Yeah, you can't. That does not work. And you can't, you know, you got a backup left tackle, we know that. And, you know, you've got, so those are issues. I mean, in spite of what we want to say. I mean, that's part of the problem. And that affects the running game. It affects quarterback. It affects passing game. It affects everything. And but the bottom line is they just lined up. Their defense lined up and kicked your butt.
Let's go back to your phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jesse has been waiting patiently. He's up next. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So I just kind of wanted to get your opinion on the state of the Titans. I think – it's kind of telling when the best thing that someone could say about your starting quarterback is that they're a great person. I think Marcus is going to end up getting some people fired if Robinson and them, they decide to renew his contract. I believe maybe he could be a backup or maybe a spot starter. But Marcus, like Floyd has talked about before, he's in his fifth year, and he really hasn't shown us that he can be that guy to help the team. Now, granted, I know we have O-line issues, we have receiver issues and things like that, but the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't have a solid team to begin with themselves, and they have Gardner Minshew out there, and he was playing like it was lights out. Marcus is a competitor. He looks like he gives it all, but sometimes he just kind of goes aloof, and I don't think that's going to help us. And, you know, people that like your poll, you know, the Marcus approval poll and things like that, he just keeps dropping.
Oh, it's going to be bad. Like it's going to be bad next week now.
Oh yeah. If I can just get your guys' opinion on that, what do you think moving on? Because I'm not trying to write off the season, but I'm looking forward, yeah. And I just really don't.
Jesse, thank you. What do you think of him saying, you know, he's ready to move on?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that yet, and I'm sure they're not saying that yet. Simply because there's so much of the season to go. You know, we can be ticked off over everything that's gone on. Hate it all. Hate everybody. Hey, there are 13 games left. And anything can happen in 13 games. So we got to play them all and see what happens.
I just don't like how John Robinson gets such a pass. Like, that line is terrible. Terrible. And he cut a starting right guard. And they have not had a starting right guard. They brought in a guy who was a backup last year, brought him back, and drafted a guy in the third round who Floyd did not think could play from day one and has not been able to play because he's been hurt.
Well, I'd never seen the kid play. I don't know anything about
it. I know, but you were very skeptical of the idea of a third rounder who was playing tackle last year at Charlotte playing right guard for the Titans at Cleveland in week one.
Well, yeah. Any rookie, you know, playing week one. But
a Floyd rookie would have been fine, though. Justin Hartwig, right. Gennaro DiNapoli. Benji Olsen.
I think the part that's so sad about this is, And that not, we all know Taylor's not going to come in and all of a sudden, you know, everything's roses. But it is going to help tremendously. And so you say to yourself, okay, if these things would have just happened in different sequence, you know, if Taylor would have gotten his suspension now, get the four games done, and then after that, have Panfield get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, to where you got it all back. But no, we got it all at once.
And that's what makes the Colt game so frustrating, because if you win that, at least you're 2-2
and you,
when LaJuan gets back.
Yeah, and you're sitting there, and that is a game that was so winnable.
Oh, it was in your hands.
So winnable.
Let's go to Doug, who's up next. What's up, Doug?
Hey, guys. Floyd.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate your comments about accuracy of the quarterback and how it needs to be. Almost every throw needs to be accurate. And going to the Colts game, do y'all remember the first play of the game?
Yeah, Mariota missed the throw.
I mean, that was so crucial. It changed the whole flow of the game, him missing that throw. Delaney Walker would have gone 20 yards with that ball.
Right.
And as it is, we wound up punting. And Mariota's accuracy, a quarterback's got to be accurate. I mean, it just don't work.
Thank you for the call, Doug.
The two most important things to a quarterback in my world, in my opinion, is decision making and accuracy. And, you know, truth is, I'm not sure Marcus checks either one of those balls, either one of those boxes. So it's, you know, he's got to start picking it up a little bit.
So that's why you like Drew Brees so much.
Oh, yeah.
Drew sees it at the line. Drew puts it right in that little spot.
Any of those guys. I mean, they, you know, when you talk to them and they talk about throwing a certain pass and they're talking about, you know, where are the guy's eyes and, you know, where's he looking and where it's not, is the receiver open? Is he, what kind of, it's, where's the defender? What's he doing?
So a lot of the fans want Ryan Tannehill. Coming up next, Vrabel asked yesterday and today about Ryan Tannehill, or maybe the idea of putting Marcus on the bench, what he had to say. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Love using them at my home. I forget what it was today that happened, but Hiller came up in a conversation, and I was telling him, I said, look, I absolutely love using Hiller at my home. And if you use Hiller at your home, you will too. Why? Because anytime you have an issue, you go right online, happyhiller.com. You can do it right from your phone. Schedule an appointment. Their trained, highly trained technician comes out to your home, and they fix your problems, and they give you a quote before they do it thanks to True Transparency Pricing. That's the name of the game with Hiller. Again, that's True Transparency Pricing, where you get a quote up front where everything is laid out for you for what you're paying for and why you're paying it. Unlike the other guys who might have flat rates or special fees, Hiller doesn't have that. It's simple. True Transparency Pricing. It is all part of what makes Hiller so great and so successful. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Tennessee Volunteers and the Nashville Predators. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5, the game.
We saw Brian Tannehill with the helmet on. How close to the scheme has actually been through the game?
Not very. He just can hear the calls when he puts his helmet on.
Mike Vrabel asked yesterday, hey, we saw Tannehill with a helmet on. Mike, how close was Tannehill to going in that game? Not very. Puts the helmet on, can hear it. Next question basically is what Vrabel was saying there, which Vrabel wants no part of a quarterback controversy. We said on the show all week, if they lose to Jacksonville after the way they lost the Colts game, we were going to get Tannehill calls all day, and we have gotten Tannehill calls all day.
Sure.
Vrabel today was asked about punt returning, and he said, you know, it's week to week talking about the punt returning. And I got to give the reporter some credit who then turned the week to week thing. Vrabel, every position on this team is week to week, and we are week to week. You know how coaches always say that. You know, it's like you go to training camp, you go, what jobs are open for starting jobs? Every job is open every day of ever. So that got turned around on Vrabel about the quarterback position. He was asked about Mariota week to week. This is what he said.
But every situation is week to week. Is the quarterback a part of that, or is that even worth talking about at this point?
I don't think that that's something that we're looking at right now, but it's always
something that we consider every week, but not right now. I think that, you know, again, trying to emphasize the really good throws, the really good production. We got some play pass production, but then again, there was just some plays that we'd like to have back in all in our run game, in our throw game, our defense.
So he's basically saying, hey, we're not talking quarterback here, but he knows he can't just say, well, every other position is week for week except for the quarterback, which is not week to week. He can't say that.
No.
But he basically said, we're not talking quarterback here.
Especially being that's a position everybody wants to change.
And honestly, if I really wanted to get into this, and this is why I'm not a shock jock, and everybody says, you're a shock jock, and you're a – I easily could use what Vrabel said there about – well, you know, we evaluate everything every week, but we're not talking about saying, hey, they said they're evaluating quarterback this week. He said it, but I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. They are not interested in talking about the quarterback position. I think Vrabel, by those two questions and answers, makes it incredibly clear he's not interested in thinking about changing the quarterback. So, Floyd Reese, you have been as down on Marcus as the callers today. Is Vrabel right for not having any interest in thinking about putting Ryan Tannehill in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would have no – I mean, it wouldn't even be a consideration for me.
Why? You're super down on Marcus right now.
I'm not down on him.
Oh, you're down on him.
Because I said he wasn't accurate?
You said you didn't think he has accuracy or decision-making, and on Monday, Ian, back me up. That was the most animated Floyd's ever been about Mariota.
And let me ask you this. Do you think his decision-making is really, really good?
No.
Do you think his accuracy is really, really good?
At times he throws a nice ball.
That's not what I...
And by times, I mean 2016.
Accuracy is really, really good?
No.
Okay.
Every time he throws
so
a ball,
so what
I
said was the truth.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Oh,
but at okay. What point do you look at the season and say, you know, I'm going to keep running out this non-accurate, bad decision-making quarterback when you've got a guy who is capable of starting in the NFL
you
on the run?
Can't.
I'm not saying they should do it. I'm just saying that this isn't Blaine Gabbert on the bench. Or
everybody
Kasker.
That wants that to happen needs to go back and look at the last 7 years of tape on Tannehill. Come to me and see if you have the same opinion.
People would have said that about Neil O'Donnell, too.
And Neil O'Donnell was in the Super Bowl.
Tannehill was in a
playoffs. Neil O'Donnell was an outstanding pro quarterback. And if he hadn't have turned 40 or whatever it was. He might still be playing. Who the heck knows?
Let's go back to your phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Joe is up next. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my
Joe,
call,
I got to be honest. I was wondering if you were going to call today. You are as Mariota as they come.
Man, I'm not afraid to back up my guy. Look, I don't care if Tom Brady was on that offense last night. He couldn't have done any better. Look, the refs, that game was rigged. I don't care what anybody says. Those calls were bad, and no quarterback can do anything if you get a first down and they hold a holding call. Plus, Jacksonville had four calls with a flag happy crew. Tell me that game was not rigged. Tell me it wasn't rigged, and I'll call you a liar. No quarterback could have won that game for the Tennessee Titans. And I'm sorry, if people want Ryan Tannehill, if they really want Ryan Tannehill, they may get their wish. Because behind that offensive line, I don't know if Marcus Mariota is going to survive the rest of the year. The guy's been sacked almost 20 times. It's a wonder he's not going to coach and saying, I quit because you can't block for me, man. What are y'all doing? Thanks, guys.
Thank you for the call. I do agree with Joe's take.
How many times has he been sacked?
17, which is a record for the first three games since 2002.
Wow.
And I don't know who the 2002 quarterback is. For some reason, I want to assume it was Patrick Ramsey in Washington when Steve Spurrier was a coach because he was just getting sacked every 5 seconds. But this is what's hard for me with Mariota, and this is where Joe is all in on don't blame Mariota, and I can't be all in on don't blame Mariota, but the line's terrible. The right. line is terrible.
Right.
Could you put Tom Brady behind that line last night and expect to win that football game?
Well, I mean... Tom Brady would be different. I mean, it would. The problem is the offense would not be adapted to Tom Brady. But if you took the New England offense and taught it for a year or two to these guys and played that game, yeah, you would have been better.
Then go teach a New England offense.
Yeah.
Why am I dealing with the Terry Robiskie, Matt LaFleur offense? I want the New England offense. By the way, did you see Robiskie on TV last night?
I didn't.
Oh, they showed there was one. I think Fournette checked out of the game. And when Fournette checked out of the game, they showed Robiskie was standing there on the sidelines with his headset on. And the Titans are 0-2 against Terry Robiskie coach teams since they parted ways with Terry Robiskie.
This reminded me because the stats in this game were incredibly odd. That is, if you look at, for example, you know, they had 12 first downs. 12 first downs and 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, figure that out. You know, time of possession, we killed them. You know, first downs, we killed them. Third downs, we killed them. All those things that normally are really, really important. But the oddest of all the stats was Fournette had a 69-yard run and gained 66 yards.
Yeah, at one point he was like 9 carries for a minus 11 yards. I mean, the Titans did a great job on Fournette.
Unbelievable.
And on top of that, what are the two keys for the GM every football game on the pregame show?
Yeah, it's always the same.
Turnovers and penalties. Turnovers and penalties.
Where you were awful.
Brenda is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Brenda. Brenda. And I was expecting some Brenda cheer on this Fireball Hot Take Friday.
She's always so positive.
To make me feel a little bit better. Mike is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, yeah, thank you very much. Question for GM. Under any other coach, under any other team, you might have answered in the last segment, but under any other coach, any other team, do you think Tom Brady will be successful as he is? And I'll listen off there.
Thank you for the call.
I mean, the reason that Tom Brady is as successful as he is because, you know, they had a system that he fits perfectly. If you took him and the system and moved him to another team, I mean, I don't know. I can't say that he would be as successful, but he would be successful.
Yeah, like if you took him to Seattle and made him play Russell Wilson ball, he's not going to be able to do that.
No, yeah, there are certain things that he is just not. You know, for example, Tom never gets hit, and the offensive line does a great job with Tom. But that offensive line is made up of, you know, free agent and fourth rounders.
Well, they have Dante Scarnecchia, though.
Yeah, they had the one first round kid win that just got placed on IR. So now they're playing free agents, but they have a system that is perfect, a system they like, and a system that fits the quarterback. And because of that, it all works.
Coming up next, we'll take your phone, 615-737-1025. But something I just don't understand. Why does Mike Vrabel never get any blame? Why does Mike Vrabel always get a free pass? We will discuss next. Jared the GM, Fireball.
You believe that came
Friday
out of his mouth?
It's ESPN 1025,
the game. Unbelievable.